You are about to participate in the most ambitious culinary experiment ever imagined.
This competition is going to test everything.
Adapt quickly to anything. I mean anything. The wildest day of your life starts right now.
All new 24 and 24 Last Chef Standing. Sunday night at 8 on Food Network. Stream on Max.
Hi, Bertie from Eurogamer here. This episode was recorded in a bit of a rush directly after the Xbox Bethesda Summer Games Fest showcase had ended on the evening of Sunday, 12th June. It's appearing here a little late because of various seasonal absences, and also the quality isn't great because Martin had to record from a hotel lobby in Los Angeles, where he was visiting the Summer Games Fest. I hope you enjoy it nonetheless. Cheers. Welcome to a special edition of Weekly, a show in which we recap the week on Eurogamer for you. Today, we're looking back on the past few days of Summer Game Fest, which has just culminated in the Xbox Bethesda showcase. We'll take all of that in just a moment. Joining me today are features editor Christian Donnan. Hi, Chris.
Hello.
And all the way live from LA, Martin Robinson. Hi, Martin.
Hi, how's it going? I'm in quite a busy hotel lobby right now because I've literally just checked out of my hotel room on the way back home. The Xbox press has just wrapped. So excuse the noise in the distance in the background, but this is live from the ground in LA.
How's it been out there? Has it felt like E3?
It's been weird because it's been so long since I've done E3. And you kind of forget that it's impossible to tell what these shows are like when you're actually there. Because I've not seen any of the live streams. Like, I've not had the chance to because of there's been like a physical counterpoint, a physical kind of accompaniment to Summer Games Fest, which is like it's a small event space about in downtown. There's like about 30 game demos there, about 50 press. And I spent the past few days there just chatting to devs, playing stuff and everything, which means I've been completely oblivious to what the show's actually been like for you guys over there. So don't ask me what the show in LA's been like. I don't know. I've been at Summer Games Fest the whole time. So yeah, I've been seeing, they had some good stuff there. Street Fighter 6, there'll be a preview of that up on the site soon. I saw something else which is embargoed, but screw it, no, they're not going to find out. I saw Sonic, which is embargoed from Monday, which is when this is going live actually, so that's fine. I saw a Sonic and interviewed Sonic team. Had some time with Glenn Schofield. I played Day of the Devs kind of games that are coming out. There's loads of them and they're all awesome. Aaron Flynn, I spoke to about Nightingale, which is really cool.
Oh, yeah.
Shaping up quite nicely. But yeah, basically, it's a lot of things condensed into a small amount of time. So it's one of those things where it's quite a whirlwind, basically. It's been talking to a lot of people and seeing a lot of cool stuff. It's not been like E3, really. It's been like a much smaller show. It kind of reminded me of, I'm not sure if you ever went to Microsoft, they used to do something called X10 or X06, whatever year it was. Where they'd
take I liked those.
Yeah, they're quite low key and everything. And they're obviously just geared towards press. So it hasn't felt anything like E3. It's been its own thing. But it has been nice to be at an event space again. And just, you forget what it's like to have the buzz of a game on the show floor as well. Especially something like Street Fighter 6, which you don't get if you just play it in the office somewhere. When you've got like groups of people milling around and playing it, and actually that kind of playing it organically in a public space, it makes such a big difference.
So what has the buzz been? Because there's always a buzz around shows. What are people talking about when you talk to other journalists, which presumably you have been doing, or other media? What's everyone excited about? What are people talking about there?
Well, people, I think the first thing that happens is people struggle to talk because no one's actually hung out with each other in a public space for a long time. And so a lot of it's just like, I forgot what it's like to be around people again. And once you've got over that, a lot of it is just basically, it's just nice to catch up with people because we've not traveled. This is the first time I've traveled. I've been on the plane since the whole pandemic started. And just the excuse to be over the other part of the world and chatting to US media I have not seen for ages, chatting to people who I work with quite regularly, and I haven't seen like Ed Thorns over here from RPS. And this is his first kind of big trip. And it's like, I haven't spoken to Ed properly for like, been on the trip with him for years, I've been able to see him face to face, but it's just nice to hang out with people.
How's he doing?
I know it's been quite what
is
you
he right? Right?
He's good, yeah, really good. He's been very, very busy. I think this is his first show like one of these, and it's just a lot of appointments, and when it comes to actually finding time to write stuff up, who knows when that's going to happen. But yeah, hopefully that stuff's going to come in the next few days.
So what's the thing you're going to take away from what you've seen that you're going to tell people about? Is it Street Fighter 6?
Yeah, Street Fighter 6 and Sonic are the two big ones. Sonic, it's not going to surprise you that I'm quite contrarian about it. I thought it's actually quite good. There's that. Street Fighter 6 is just, it feels like a proper comeback for the series, which feels like a dumb thing to say because Street Fighter 5 wasn't that long ago, but Street Fighter 5 was kind of like a missed opportunity. This feels like the most exciting Street Fighter has been since Street Fighter 4 came out in like 2008, I think.
Wow. Okay, so let's go over some of the stuff that's happened. So the Xbox conference, Xbox Bethesda conference has just happened. It's fresh in our minds. What stood out to you, Christian, watching this? What made you go, oh, that looks good?
I think there was a game at the end called Cocoon, which looked quite interesting. It all looked pretty good. I think what stood out to me most is that when you only have one conference, you don't have that same thing that E3 has always been quite good at. It's just the sort of the three-way discussion over what games are about. So you only really get Microsoft's vision of games, whereas in the past, it's followed up by like what PlayStation thinks games are and what Nintendo thinks games are. So while it was great, it felt like you were only getting one sort of channel of things. I thought Redfall looked fine. I actually thought it was nice to see Starfield looking like a real video game. You know, it had sort of performance issues, but it was very clearly I liked that about it. It was very clearly sort of a real game, and it was quite nice for them to be able to show that. And after years of just hearing about this thing, to actually see a sense of the sort of familiarity of it, which I think probably people who like Bethesda games will probably quite enjoy that sort of familiarity, that sense of being.
So I was a bit worried when it started because, yeah, we haven't seen much Starfield, and this was like a proper chunky look at various aspects of the game. And it started with a kind of mission on a planet, which I guess we're going to do many of these same kind of missions. You're down on a planet, some pirate, you're going towards a pirate base somewhere, and you end up doing a lot of shooting, and it just looked a bit brown and the guns looked a bit weak and sort of just like the guns we have now. I didn't see any sort of sci-fi excitement in the guns, and I didn't really see any vibrancy or kind of energy in the game itself. I don't know if you guys felt the same, but it got better as they started talking about the RPG elements and started talking about showing the hubs that you could go to and all the characters that you could meet, and then showing you all the faces you could make. The character creation looks wonderful. Skills and the ship customization.
All Bethesda games are essentially licensed games in a way, and the license is Bethesda. It's like, if you like the kind of games that they make, it's another one in that series. Do you know what I mean? And I think they showed enough to probably really excite people. If you are the kind of the college student looking to play something that was long, that in a summer break, that's the game for you. Sorry.
Yeah, I was like Bertie. I was kind of started off quite... No, it's fine. I had nothing of interest to say, really. I'm just going to echo what Bertie said. But no, I felt like, likewise, I was like, it didn't start off that great. And when you saw the gunplay, it's like, this is... But then that's not why you play these games. And then slowly, as the demo went on and as they showed more off, they showed the reasons why you play those games, which is the world building, which is the size of it, which is the storytelling, which is, yeah. And so, yeah, it got there, basically. It got there in the end. First of all, I was like, this isn't the game that was going to save 2022 and is now going to be the biggest game in 2023, first of all. But then when it slowly came more into focus, it's like, yeah, this is, well, as you say, it looked more and more like a Bethesda Game Studios game, which I think is what people want. So, yeah.
It has that massiveness about it. I think with there are like hundreds of planets that you can fly down to all of them and you can, you know, explore, which sounds daunting and I'm sure is largely very boring, but it has that kind of ambition that I quite like about Bethesda games, whether or not they actually reach it in the end. Anyway, sorry, Chris, you wanted to talk about...
No, I was about to move on. So I was about to say I want to talk about Pentiment, but please.
Let's talk about Pentiment. So Pentiment is this surprise Obsidian game.
We were talking about this just before we started recording, and I'm going to shamelessly rehash what we just said. But we were both saying how it's quite nice. It's very clearly a passion project because even before you know that the story behind it, and this is a game he's been trying to make for like 20 years or whatever, and it actually is a passion project. It's so
he
obvious.
Josh Sawyer, the director.
Yeah, who did New Vegas as well. But even before that, you know it's a passion project because it's a game set in Renaissance Bavaria. And it's just like, I don't feel like the world is sort of crying out for that, which is what's so brilliant about it. It's clearly this guy really wants to make a game about, you know, Renaissance art and about Renaissance life. And it looked like there was a bit of Bonfire of the Vanity sort of thing. And that sounds wonderful. What I respond to is not so much the theme of it, but just the obvious sense of its passion. It's the Microsoft are allowing this team to make something which actually its sort of connection to the marketplace is secondary to the fact that they just really wanted to make a game about Renaissance Bavaria. And I love that.
Yeah, from what I understand about him is that he has German roots. He may even be half German. I'm not sure. He's intensely interested in kind of medieval history. So I think this stuff is all comes from a place of passion. And like you, that makes a game interesting, right? It doesn't look like it's built for everyone. It's definitely not Starfield, but it's a niche focused kind of... And this is a detective adventure, by the way. So an artist gets wrapped up in... a murder. He's studying in an abbey, and then he becomes a sort of unlikely kind of detective, and it takes place across like 25 years or something, and you get roped into other kind of murder mysteries. It's a narrative adventure game, ostensibly.
It sounds very obviously sort of Name of Roses, one of the obvious... What's that, sorry?
No, that's right. Sorry about I got the lag from LA, so all of a sudden we're getting me just coming in 2 seconds late. Sorry, carry on.
I was just saying that like Name of the Rose is the obvious sort of touch point for that sort of thing. But I was delighted to see something so unusual in the middle of this conference.
I thought Diablo 4, look, I know it's an obvious one, but I thought we saw a chunk of Diablo 4 running. And I guess everyone, well, I certainly have Diablo Immortal in my head at the moment, the mobile game, which is kind of dividing opinion a little bit. And so it was nice to see Diablo 4 looking so... chunky, sort of substantial as well. There's sort of a heftiness to it. I found it quite convincing what they were showing.
It looked good, but it did. First of all, I didn't realize it was Diablo, because Diablo we kind of associate with these big, expensive cutscenes. And Diablo Immortal looks more expensive than Diablo 4, basically, in terms of production, at least at first, anyway. And I was like, it took me a bit surprise. But when it actually got up and running, we got the gameplay going, it did look. It was reassuring, I guess, in the chunkiness. So I quite enjoyed what
and
that
due
was.
Next year as well.
Yeah. There was quite a lot of, we talked about this earlier, but there was quite a lot of being thrown under the bus in that presentation, I felt like. They were kind of, and in the notes that came through afterwards, they were talking about how it's grim and dark, and they were basically saying the code was it's not like Diablo 3, which you got so angry about for having color in it and stuff like that. And then the notes that came through afterwards were like, it's not made for the mobile phone, like Diablo Immortal, you know. And it's quite odd to see a publisher going like, it's not like the other shit we've just released. Do you know what I mean? It's quite a sort of... I don't know how I would feel if I was on the Diablo Immortal team and I read that press release. I think I'd probably be a bit annoyed.
And there's a new Minecraft game, a new action strategy Minecraft game coming out, which I think it seems novel to me.
I was not expecting it, but I don't think I've been paying attention really. So yeah, look, it's not the first kind of twist on the Minecraft formula. I'm sure it would be okay. But yeah, it looks nice and colourful.
What did you make of Forza?
It's really hard to say until I get to play it, because the thing that series really needs is a complete rethinking of how it handles and how it works on track. And I wasn't convinced by what they were showing off. It's real-time ray tracing is cool, dynamic, time of day and weather is fantastic. And they were quite pointed in saying all tracks will support it, which is something Gran Turismo doesn't do. But if it really wants to be playing with the big boys, it needs to sort its handling out. And from what I saw as a video, it didn't look like it's moved on significantly, but it's really hard for them to replay it. So I'm reserving judgment until I get to play it. I wish they'd talked about more, basically, than just quite standard stuff, which they were talking as if it's like really game-changing stuff. It's like dynamic time of day is cool, but don't pretend you're reinventing the wheel by saying you've got it in there. It's just a fairly standard feature in a decent sim worth its salt. So yeah, I'm looking forward to seeing more. I really hope they do turn around for that, because if, I think that series has got so much potential. Obviously, Forza Horizon's kind of taken over as a premier Forza thing, but it'd be really good if we have a really good Forza Motorsport to keep things healthy when it comes to those kind of sim games.
Yeah, and what did you both think of? Because I wasn't entirely convinced by this game, but what did you both think of Redfall, the new game from Arkane? I think is it Arkane Leon or is it Arkane Austin?
Austin.
I can't remember, but the new. Okay, Arkane Austin. So this looks like a kind of, it's a shooter, but it's like a vampire-themed co-op shooter, from what I understand. And I don't know, I was wanting to like it, but it wasn't quite getting there.
Yeah, if Arkane games are difficult to, I don't know, they're really weird because the press get quite excited about them and then the masses aren't really into them, whereas this feels like a flip side in that I feel like the press won't be that excited by it, but it might actually be something that more people want to play because it's got that co-op element. It's got more sticky elements, I think, than you get in traditional single-player Arkane games. And obviously, it's the Prey team, I guess. And so it feels like Prey with supernatural stuff and vampires. And so that's something which would capture the imagination. I'm not convinced by the co-op action elements, but again, it's a case of having to play it because it's not something I'm kind of used to from Arkane things. It's not what I typically would go to their games for. But I guess that's what makes it interesting.
Yeah, I think the missing ingredient is Game Pass, isn't it? I think it makes total sense when you factor in Game Pass. I think that's where it sort of comes to life. Is you're never going to run out of people to play with, or you know? I think that's probably why this. I think it looks all right, and I think it's probably going to be very successful because of that.
Which is true, I think of. Quite a few games maybe talked about today is that they were all coming. I think they were all coming day one or at some point to Game Pass. And when they come, when you see the games like this, you're like, oh, Scorn, that still looks quite interesting. Or, you know, some new game where you're like, I forgot what it was called. It was called Dusk, As Dusk Falls or something. It was some sort of narrative thing with a weird kind of motion capture sort of comic style, and I'm like, I'm not entirely convinced, but because it's on Game Pass, I can just give it a go for like 5-10 minutes.
That's the thing, because I think we said that a few years ago, that Game Pass feels like the AA subscription service. Basically, it's a subscription service which lets you get all these AA games, and that's like this show, because it did have the big hitters. You did have Diablo in there and Forza, so and you had, obviously they don't get any bigger than Starfield, but the rest of it was a lot of games which is like, this looks interesting. I don't know if it's been announced yet already. Should I know about it already? And it looks fantastic. And I might give it a try in Game Pass when it comes out. But also, I'm not really too sure. And so there's a lot of stuff like that, basically, where I was like, like the kind of mid-tier stuff. This is what Game Pass is great for. And it's fantastic. It's a time in the limelight.
Game Pass is the platform now. That's the thing. That Microsoft's platform is Game Pass.
Yeah.
Everything else is sort of secondary to that. And I think...
Of course, there was... There was another big announcement, the sort of announcement you could imagine happening on an E3 stage. Phil Spencer's out and he's talking, he's teasing a big announcement, a big partnership. And, you know, it's the kind of face I suppose you expect in that circumstance. There's Kojima on the stage talking about some exclusive Microsoft project. That's what I got from that. He's talking about some exclusive Microsoft project. Is that exciting to you? What do you think it is? What do you think about that?
It's the previously leaked horror game.
Okay.
Sorry, you're cutting some lag here. But...
No. You after you.
So it's the horror game, which is kind of previously announced, but not, it's just been leaked a couple of weeks ago with Margaret Qualley in it.
Right.
And so with the Silent Hills team, some of them working on it. So I think that's what
right.
it is. That's what the suggestion is it's going to be. But I was hoping they'd show some of it. It seems a lot of it leaked recently, but they didn't. So yeah, it is a weird announcement though, because if that had happened in a live auditorium, you'd have heard the dress being drawn and everything. Breast being drawn, even. But you didn't get that when it was just on the live stream. So it was robbed of some of its drama, I guess. And also the fact that the news had leaked ages ago, that Kojiko is doing stuff with Xbox. But it was still a cool moment. It's still a good get. Although you do get the kind of feeling as well that maybe Sony would be quite happy to have been rid of Kojima for a bit, because I can't imagine he's that difficult to work with.
I think it's super exciting. Kojima making games on that scale is always exciting. It's that, and I was really happy to see it. It cheered me up, and it provided something which it felt was slightly missing from the rest of the show. It's that bit of sort of, you know, ludicrous ambition, you know, I think, which is what he sort of trades in. So I was excited about that.
So there were a few other things that were announced in the Xbox. I'm not sure there's anything kind of major, but we saw a bit more of Hollow Knight Silksong, which I know people are really excited about. There's some strange game called High on Life, which I couldn't really look like someone was on drugs when they were creating that. We saw a bit more of the Plague Tale sequel, which is called Requiem, it's gone a lot more standard. It's gone a lot more she can stealth kill people now and stab them in the throat, and I'm like, that's what I liked about the original, that it didn't have that, and that you kind of ran away from everyone instead.
Maybe now that we're actually living so in a plague, that bit isn't that exciting anymore. They have to add something else.
Very true. We saw a bit of Overwatch 2 and a new hero in Overwatch 2, which was exciting for me and probably no one else. And there were various other things that happened. We've got a roundup on the site. I'll link to it in the description below. Going back over some of the previous announcements of the previous days, you said you went to Day of the Devs, Martin. I see there's a bunch of... They all look interesting to me, but was there any Day of the Devs game that you thought, ooh, this looks nice? You are muted.
I know, it's amazing. I'm trying to mute myself in order to stop the traffic of the lifts getting in the way. There's us two games, Wonderful Thing, which I'm now going to have to Google because it was just recently announced. It was Desta, their new thing. It looks fantastic. I only got like about 5 minutes with it, but it looks like a continuation of what they've done with Monument Valley, but with just a bit more kind of grounded reality in it as well. Really cool. I think it's Time Fly, which is like a cool little game which you play a fly that buzzes around, and it's like a little closed 60-second time loop. But it was cool, but it's one of those things where there's quite a few games in quite a condensed amount of time, so I wasn't able to kind of enjoy stuff as much as maybe I'd have liked to in a more sedate environment. But yeah, that was cool. But in general, I did actually want to ask, what's it been like from your perspective? Because I've been over here in LA, obviously, and quite blind to a lot of it, but what's it felt like over there? Has it felt akin to an easy week, or has it just been a load of quite annoying streams happening all at the same time?
It feels like a lot of streams, right? I think the problem is there's the slight problem anyway, is that there's maybe a couple too many of them, which starts to become a little bit wearying when it's like everyone wants to do a separate stream for things. I suppose in principle it means that Day of the Devs, it gives them something separate to do, but there was that Tribeca one as well, which I don't think much came out from, and it just feels a bit spread out. And I think if it was condensed into a few, for me that's more exciting because it's more likely that then I'll watch each individual one. But there were some that kind of were pushed to the wayside a little bit. I haven't felt that. Watching Xbox Bethesda tonight was the closest I've had this week to a kind of E3 style buzz.
Yeah, I think Donlan suggested it earlier as well. It's basically, it's the platform holders that make it exciting. That's what E3 is about, really. It's about the big platform holders. And it's about being given an exciting glimpse of the future, basically, I think, which is what we always say at E3. It's like, this is what's coming. This is what's on the horizon. This is why you should be excited about the future of games. And sometimes that's missing from some smaller shows, yeah.
And something that's been... I was just going to say quickly, something that seems to have been a key point across the various conferences is people saying, we're showing you games that are going to come out in the next year or you know, so up until like halfway through 2023 or something. No one's going, which is great, that's sensible, but there are points when I want to see something that isn't sensible, where someone goes, look at this exciting thing that we're working on for, you know, a few years time. And you go, oh, wow, look at that. And everything gets a bit pumped.
I think that segues really nicely to Plucky Squire, which feels like if any game feels like the breakout of this not E3, whatever you want to call it, Plucky Squire is the one game which had people really sort of talking authentically about that looks amazing. And it is that perfect bit of counter programming. You couldn't create a better bed for that game to emerge from than a bunch of survival horror set in space and about disemboweling people. And then Plucky Squire comes out, and it's so coherent, it's so bright and colorful, and it's so its own thing that it absolutely sings compared to everything else. I think that looked wonderful. That's the new game by James Turner's bunch, the sort of former Pokemon artist, and it looks
Devolver game.
No,
as well.
Devolver publishing it.
Seeing coming next.
It had that freshness. It had that same freshness that Scribblenauts did at that E3. It was like complete counter programming and just absolute. You know, it's like someone opening the window in a really, you know, smoky pub or whatever.
So let's cast our mind back a couple of days. This all kicked off last week with the Summer Games Fest that Jeff Keighley was introducing. And that was the other sort of biggie, I suppose. And there was a hilarious, funny theme running through it of Dead Space. And that everything they seemed to announce or show looked like Dead Space. Of course, the most Dead Space game was Callisto Protocol, which is being helmed by Glenn Schofield's project. And that does look like Dead Space intentionally. I think that's the vibe. And you played this, is that right? Or
no, I didn't play it, but I did speak to Glenn. They're not ready to show it off to play it at the table yet, but it was quite funny because we spoke about the history of Dead Space and kind of how difficult it was to get it greenlit, and then kind of leaving it behind and everything, and then obviously coming back to it, and then he gets to make his good Dead Space game he's always wanted to make, and then the remake of the old game comes out within months. And he was quite openly miffed about it. It's like, it's just, the timing's a bit strange, don't you think? It's like, yeah, it's a little bit strange. Obviously Dead Space captured a lot of people's imaginations at the same time. I think someone said basically this is a year when everybody who was like 18 when Dead Space came out and thought it was the best thing ever has just grown up to become a creative director. And now it's just basically all these games coming out at the same time. It does feel like it's a bit crowded, that kind of thing, especially something so grimdark. But I don't know. It creates one of those weird kind of face-offs that never look quite good. Like, I was going to say, like, Split Second and Blur, which is quite ill-fated. I hope this one's slightly, like, not quite as... I hope it has a happier ending than that. But it's just one of those interesting face-offs that happen every now and again in video games. That it's, yeah... Let's see how it plays out, basically.
One of the announcements that surprised me on Thursday night, our time, was that Flashback's coming back. There's a Flashback 2 is in development. I'm not sure if we saw anything of it. It was just a kind of montage, but I don't know what to think about that.
I'm going to do my excuse and push my glasses up my nose. There was a Flashback 2 already, wasn't there? Called Fade to Black, that came out about 4 years after the original Flashback. It was shit.
Probably was, if you're saying that. But this is called Flashback 2.
But if it could be good, unless the original Flashback guys involved with it, because he did like a HD remake not that long ago, and it was disastrous. So I would not get my hopes up. It's also, I think, it's also from some of the same team who brought you the 13 remake recently, which also went down really badly. So, it's...
Worrying signs.
Expectations in check time, basically. I think it's best to... It's interesting, but I wouldn't get so excited.
I was also relatively excited to see there's an Aliens game coming, as in Aliens, the second film. There's a game designed, it's that basically, it is Aliens. And that looked, Aliens Dark Descent, it's called. And that looked like Aliens. I don't know how else to say it. It had that same sort of blue sci-fi look and the same one-liners. And it was very much that inner space station, lots of shooting kind of vibe. And fingers crossed. I've watched the Aliens films recently, so I'm in an Aliens mindset. So that looked kind of interesting. There was also, there was Modern Warfare 2, right, which they gave a big section to, and this is the reboot that's a sequel to the 2019 Modern Warfare. And it's got this fancy new engine, and they're updating Warzone with this engine as well. This was a part of their announcement as well. And it looks quite pretty, but I mean, nice shipping containers, but meh. I don't know what to say about that.
I was quietly impressed by the water tech, and I think Wes was as well when he previewed it. But it did look like a modern warfare game. And they did lean into crates. I've never seen crates look that good. I've never seen more dynamic crates in a first-person shooter. It's like
great shipping containers.
It was tied into a mechanic though as well, like the idea of cover that moves around. I think it was. I don't know. It's not my game, but I was like, if it was my game, I'd probably be quite excited.
Yeah, and that's right, because like it did.
So I'm just crates, the killjoy.
You are a little bit, yeah. So, but they were, as Donovan says, they were actually moving around. It had some of that Uncharted. What one is it? It's one of the levels of Uncharted, because kind of where you have a movable cover like that as well. And so, like, I think it's something Stuart Black said years ago when he was talking about the ill-fated first-person shooter body count. But he was like, you see a lot of crates in first-person shooters, but my crates are fucking operas. And like in the same way, these kind of shipping containers in this Modern Warfare reboot were just, they were shipping containers as art forms. It was great.
Okay, we're going to round things up in just a second. Are there any other games you saw, any other announcements that have happened that caught your eye that we haven't gone over?
Like all these things, like when you go to these shows, it's the kind of the appointment you weren't really looking forward to so much or weren't really expecting much of. And so I went to go and see Skybound Games, the publisher, who's had a couple of cool things. And they had a small space away from the show floor, and they had Vice Undercover, which is kind of like Papers, Please-esque, but in an 80s Vice setting. It's basically like Admin Under Pressure, if you like that genre of things. But it's really stylish and done really well. And they also had Glitch Runners, or Glitch Shooters, as it was. I've forgotten what season it's called, James, but how jet lag and what prep I've done. But it's this really smart co-op action game that when I first saw it, I was like, oh, not sure about this. After about 30 seconds of playing it, I was totally convinced. And now it's like one of the highlights of the show. So there was some cool stuff. I'm looking forward to writing about it again on the site, basically, when they get some time. But yeah, there was some really good stuff over here, some really nice surprises, and just nice to know that there's some exciting games on the horizon, on the near horizon as well, in quite a lot of cases.
Absolutely. Christian, anything for you that stood out that we haven't mentioned?
No, but I think it's that thing Martin was talking about, is the game of E3 is always the game you weren't expecting, and you have to dig around for it. And I think for me at the moment it's probably Plucky Squire, but I think I'm sure that the most interesting game will come out in the next couple of, it'll emerge in the next couple of weeks, that this was the thing which was actually was great, and it probably wasn't going to on stage at anyone's sort of big event or anything like that, but it just has this sort of charisma. So I'm looking forward to finding out what the game was really.
Can I spoil Absolutely. It for you? Can I spoil it and let you know what the game is though? Because I know what that game is. It's Sonic Frontiers. That's what it is. That's the one surprise. It's gonna bowl you all over.
I'm excited.
We'll see. Okay, that's it from us for this Summer Game Fest edition of Weekly. I will, of course, there are loads of announcements that's happened. I will link our roundup pieces for the conferences. The PC Gaming Show is also underway at the moment as we speak. So I will link all of our roundups to all of these conferences in the description below. And of course, you'll find them on Eurogamer, and we'll be picking over this stuff, plus posting our coverage from the event for days to come. So join us there. For now, though, thank you, Christian, and thank you, Martin, all the way from LA. Do get home safely.
Thanks. Sorry about the crazy noises and the stutter and everything. But yeah, thanks for having us.
Okay, bye for now, everyone.
Bye-bye.